Welcome to Influential She, the podcast about accelerating the influence of women in the world.
You will find us to be a fresh voice in an old conversation.
And here we are, your amazing co-hosts, Deb Soholt
and Mel Schopp. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Influential She. I'm your co-host, Mel Schopp.
And I'm Deb Soholt. And this is our conversation about accelerating the influence of women in the world. And you know, Mel, you and I have talked about this talismanic 10, which are these parts about being just a whole fantastic, fabulous woman and how they really have to work in concert together in order to really start to accelerate your influence in the world. And one of the most, I don't know, they're all really super important, but one that is really key to understanding who we are is this whole concept of self.
You know, when we started out our conversations in talking about what we wanted to do and where we thought was really critically important for us to understand the real core of what women need, it really is all about understanding who we are first, because if we don't have that piece, nothing else is going to fall into place. And that's what this first high leverage practice is. And in fact, Deb, I think you really helped me to better understand initially that this was a really important and critical part of your life as you were starting out in your professional career too.
Absolutely. And this is one of those things that we thought, gosh, if we could have gotten this figured out earlier in our lives, like what were our core values, you know, what really makes us tick, what lights that fire inside of us, that we would have really been able to take our energies and our passions and focus them more in a way that would really make us feel joyous and happy and not waste so much time. And we're super excited today about our guest. I mean, she is amazing. And we're also excited, aren't we, Mel, because she is our international guest from the Philippines. It's our first podcast with our international guest. So I'm just so happy to introduce to the show Kimmy Lu, who is from the Philippines. And she was actually the very first life coach in the Philippines. So welcome to the show, Kimmy Lu.
Oh my gosh, it is an honor to be your first international guest. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super duper excited for our conversation today.
Kimmy Lu, I have to tell you that I was just so thrilled when somebody reached out and said, Kimmy Lu, and then was one of those things like, seriously, this is just too good to be true. I mean, I looked at your website, here's this beautiful woman, all this energy. And I thought, you know, seriously, is this person really interested in us? And then we learn more about you. And, you know, you've just really, you know, touched us in a special way. I think you wormed your way into your heart with our first conversation. But we are just really thrilled that you're willing to be here today. You've got such an amazing story to share with us.
My jaw is dropped right now because you think I'm the one who's, you know, like accomplished, but really I am very honored that you said yes to me to be able to share my story. So thank you.
Okay. So Kimmy Lu, you know, for you to become this life coach and helping to hold spiritual space for people within the Philippines and to really be a healer and helping people see their true potential, it really came from a place in your life where you were feeling just lost and empty and found yourself crying for absolutely no reason. Tell us about that.
Yes. And you know what? My word for that is not even sadness. The word that I use usually to describe that time in my life was despair. Like, I was in despair. I didn't know why I was crying. I didn't know what I should do. I was really lost. And, you know, every single night I would cry for no reason. And I would try to find somebody. And I would even try to feel my chest. Like, I would literally try to hit it with my hands, and I just felt like, oh my gosh, I can't even feel it. Like, I really feel empty physically and, you know, emotionally, I guess even spiritually. I just felt like, what's my purpose, maybe? Or what am I here for? I think those were the questions that were running through my mind.
So, Kimmy, when you were feeling that phenomenal despair, and just, I don't even know where to go from here. How did you even begin to wade your way through that? Because that could be a place that you could end up staying very stuck.
Well, thankfully, my environment allowed me to seek help. My parents are marriage counselors. So I've seen them as a child, you know, helping other married couples, talking to them and quote unquote fixing their marriages. So I knew that if I only talk to someone, then somebody can help me. But then I didn't want to talk to my parents because they're my parents and I'm not married. So that's not my problem, like the marriage thing. So I was thinking, okay, I think I need a life coach. And at that time, I don't even know where I got that term from because nobody is a life coach in the Philippines. I probably saw it on TV. So I searched online. I Googled it, Life Coach Philippines, Life Coach Manila, which was the capital of the Philippines, Life Coach Makati, which is the central business district of the Philippines. There were no life coaches. So I was thinking, oh my gosh, how is this even possible? Like, what if somebody else would need someone to talk to? Who are they going to talk to? What if they're not, you know, as strong? And they don't have people to talk to. It would be terrible for someone to try to find something and not find anything. So at that moment, I was already thinking, okay, there's a gap here. There must be somebody who they can find. Ding, 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 ding. Maybe it could be me.
Kimmy Lou.
Yeah, Kimmy Lou, maybe.
So, Kimmy, you got to tell us this story. So I know there was instant success, right? You created a website and overnight, you were instantly successful. I'm being a little sarcastic, maybe. But tell us about that journey because it's such an amazing story that you were so persistent to make this happen.
Super.
And I'm just, you know, yeah, so okay. Persistent.
Yes. So during those nights when I was feeling lost and empty, I was looking and looking and there were no coaches in the Philippines. So I had to look abroad and I landed on, you know, websites in the US. And you know, that little box in the website that says, oh, put in your email address here so that you can receive newsletters. I placed in my email address to each and every website that I landed on. And one day I received an email as promised. Neuro-linguistic hypnotherapy life coach certification in San Diego, California. Ooh, I have an aunt there. I can stay with her. Ooh, and you know, this is what I'm looking for. Like, I want to be certified to do this because we didn't have it in the Philippines. So I wrote a letter to my dad, a long email, and he was just in the next room with my mom. And the end of the letter said, can you please sponsor me for this course? And at that time, I mean, in Philippine pesos, it's half a million. That's a lot of money. Of course, in the US, it's $10,000. But in Philippine money, that was huge. Thankfully, at that time, you know, they were doing well and they were able to sponsor me. But he replied and said, sure, we are going to support you, but you need to have a plan. What plan? Like, I don't have a plan. And how fun. I mean, I think they were also so like courageous. It's so courageous of them to trust me because there were no successful life coaches in the Philippines then. And even in the US, like, it was there, but nobody was super known for it just yet, right? It's not as if I was going to be a doctor or a lawyer or an architect. Like, there's a clear path. This was really, like, just blurred, right? And it was as if they really distrust. It was a trust fall, basically. And I went to San Diego, California. Yay! Got my certification. And immediately when I got back to the Philippines, started practicing, created my website, printed out a business card. And yeah, that's the beginning of the story, the journey.
Let's go back to this point where you say, okay, there isn't a life coach for me. Somebody needs to get it. I need to have it. But tell us a little bit about how you could feel that this was your true self starting to emerge, that somehow it hit something deep inside of you that this is where I want to go and pursue. Because there's so many ideas out there about what somebody can do. But for some reason, this was really tapping into your inner self. Tell us a little bit about some of the feelings
yes.
and the thoughts that you had. You know, you had to send an email to your dad asking for sponsorship, but there was something that really ignited a fire. Tell us about that.
When I was lost, okay, and even before crying for no reason, I was already lost before crying. And I would ask people, what do you think I'll be good at? I did a survey. I sent a message to everyone I knew. And they said, you know what? I think you'll be good with people. So I searched for HR jobs or maybe like PR jobs. And I kind of looked into it. But I thought, no, I don't think this is the one. But yes, I agree. I want to do something for people or with people. And so I guess that was kind of my path. And then when I was in class in San Diego, particularly, I was talking to myself, which I always have these conversations with myself. And I was thinking, okay, I'm the only one. Nobody's a life coach yet in the Philippines. And I'm the only Filipino here in this room. And I'm going back home. I need to do it. Because who else? I felt like it was divinely implanted in me to do that work. That just, drove me to keep doing what I was doing.
You took a big courageous step, like put a stake in the ground for who Kimmy Lou is.
Yeah.
And so how did that
Yes.
step by step, you know, as you said, okay, I'm going to go home. I'm going to start a business. I'm going to do this website. I'm going to work to get clients. So what kind of messages did you have to keep telling yourself or validating within yourself to keep moving forward? Because you were very much alone in creating all of this.
Right. Well, first of all, the cost was a lot and I didn't want it to go to waste. I mean, this is the reality of it all. Like, oh my gosh, my family spent that much money. I need to make this work. Okay, so that's first. Second would be, if I will not do this, who will? Nobody else was in the classroom with me who was from the Philippines. So if I was educated, I was certified, then maybe I'm the one who's supposed to somehow pave the way for others to, you know, follow or do as well. So that one, those were the things that were going through my mind in the beginning, really.
So you came home to the Philippines and you told everybody, I'm a certified life coach. What I'm really curious about is, how did everybody react to that? Because they didn't know what it was. So did everybody go, wow, you're a life coach? Or what kind of reception did you get when you first started this whole adventure?
Oh my gosh, Mel, I received either a blank face or a really confused face. So, I was much younger then. And so they would ask me, hey, so what do you do now? because we just got off college and everybody is having their first jobs and all that. So they were asking me, so what are you doing now? I would tell them, oh, I'm a life coach. Either they'll give me a really blank face as if they didn't hear what I said, or a really confused face, and I'll need to explain. Sometimes they even ask, oh, is that like a sports thing? I'm like, no. So I start explaining what it is. Like, if you're sad, I help you become happier. If you're lost, I guide you. And then they'll say, oh, but you're so young. How can you help people? Like, how do you do that? Do you have wisdom in you? Do you have much experience already? How can you help? And so I start explaining, oh, you know what? I went to San Diego. I learned all of my tools and techniques there. I graduated, etc. And then they give me another look. Oh, but then you studied abroad, so the techniques that you learned was for like Americans and not Filipinos. Mm. Oh my goodness. It just didn't stop. It didn't stop. And then, of course, in the beginning, I would meet people in coffee shops, in their homes, in their offices. And I didn't have like a stable space. So that was really like, is this a Dr. Quack of some sort? You know? So those were my challenges in the beginning. It wasn't easy. Yeah.
So how do you think you broke that barrier down though? Because obviously you did. I mean, do you think, was there a turning point that you can think about where you just like, it finally, where people go, oh my gosh, because now you are so well respected and renowned in the practice itself as well as in the Philippines. But what was that turning point? How did you break that barrier? Because you were persistent, Kimmy. I mean, I just look at you and I'm so proud of what you were able to do, because you could have just like, oh my gosh, I'm just going to do something everybody else understands and knows. How did you do it?
First of all, I had an angel on earth. One of my very first clients, he actually said, you know what, Kimmy, I'm getting tired. You're here, you're there, you're traveling, and you're meeting people everywhere. I have a spare clinic. I want you to use it and only pay me when you actually have a client. And the name of the building was called Medical Plaza. So it was like legit. It sounded like, oh, it's official. So the next time anyone would ask me what I did, I said, oh, I'm a life coach. And I get into the whole explanation. And then they'll ask me, so where do you do it? Oh, I have a clinic at Medical Plaza. And that really just boosted my confidence. You know, having someone help me, it was life-changing, really. And also, I had amazing friends. I want to thank all of my friends for supporting me. Usually, I see this online, you know, in women groups and business groups, that they have a difficult time making their friends buy their things. You know, it has to be a stranger. But with me, I'm so thankful that all of my friends actually supported me, said yes to me, and they even paid me to help them. So I'm grateful.
So we know that you have been at this now for about a decade, maybe a little bit more. And tell us a little bit about... Mm-hmm. You know, lots of insight starts happening when we're moving along this journey of growth. Talk a little bit about some of the things that you have learned about yourself. You know, you're not only coaching others, but you're really listening to yourself all the time and applying that. How have you grown, and what are some of the things that you had to tackle to keep growing?
Yes, I would start by saying, remember, I was lost in the beginning. And through this work, I found myself. And it's, you know, waves. It comes in waves. I wasn't found completely when I started doing my work. I mean, with all of the challenges, there would still be moments when I would feel, is this really what I should be doing? Should I continue? You know, there were a lot of moments like that. And I had to do a lot of things just to make sure the life coaching business stays afloat. I became like a travel agent. I would do travel escorting. Like if there's hundreds of people, I'd be with them. This is like my extra job. When there's an event, I need to manage it as an event manager. I even host parties, kiddie parties and weddings. I would tutor kids and also foreigners to learn Filipino. So I did all of those things just to make sure that the life coaching business stays, because I knew that one day I'm going to do that full time. So those were the things, those were the challenges. And after a while, actually after I think 6 years, finally, and sometimes I regret it, like, why didn't I think of that earlier on? But I said, you know what? I'm coaching people and I'm telling them that they need a life coach. But wait a minute, I don't have one. What's up with that? So I looked for one. I was hoping to look for someone in the Philippines. The ones that I contacted didn't reply to me. So I had to look for somebody else again. And I found one of my colleagues in San Diego, and she is from Alaska, actually. And I have been talking to her for almost 4 years now, every single week. So she's my life coach. And because of that, I was able to advance also my practice, and I was able to do it full time already. So that's growth for me.
That is, it's so awesome. Tell us a little bit about some of the struggle moments, you know, where you're just like, you talked about, is this what I should still be doing? But how did you tap into yourself and keep your trust in yourself to punch through those moments? Because I know Mel and I have felt this with, you know, as much as we've done when, you know, with Influential She, we're like, whoa, is this what we're supposed to be doing? Should we keep moving on? And so what did you tap into to punch through that?
I remember this moment when I released like a workshop and I said, okay, everyone, I want you to join this. And then two people showed up, and I had to pay for the location, I had to pay for their snacks, I had to pay for their materials. So I didn't even break even. I had to pay more. You know, I lost money with that exact, you know, session, that workshop. But then the results of those two women, okay, they were like super happy. And they said, thank you so much for doing this. And at that time, it wasn't, again, popular to do those kinds of workshops. And I just really, I don't know, like there's some kind of voice in me that tells me, just keep doing it. One day, you know, they'll come, and even more and more so, maybe they will ask for it. You know, they won't just come, but they'll actually ask for more. It was just a voice. I don't know where it's coming from, actually. Is it my inner self? Is it God? Is it? But I just heard it so loudly, and I said, okay, I'm going to keep doing it.
You know, Kimmy, I've been reading a little bit on your website, some of the testimonials from people. This has to be truly satisfying. And that's not even a good word to use. There's got to be a better word. But you have just really impacted and changed some people's lives, you know, from what I've read. You know, they talk about you being this calming spirit that has really helped them to realign their lives and themselves to, you know, to get back to the place where they need to be. That has got to be for you as well as for them. I mean, you're doing such amazing things, but for you, that's got to be so satisfying. Can you talk a little bit about that, about,
oh yeah,
you know, what you have been able to give to other people that feeds back into your soul and yourself?
whenever this happens, you know, whenever I'm with someone one-on-one or even a group, and I literally see people's eyes spark. Have you ever seen people's eyes spark? Like there's like some kind of glitter. I don't know, but I see it. And then I take a deep breath and I say, oh my gosh, like I believe in God. So I thank God and I say, thank you for allowing me to witness a miracle right in front of my eyes. Like, and so whenever that happens, I tell myself, I cannot stop this job that I'm doing or like vocation that I'm doing. Because can you imagine if you can make people's eyes spark and they become, you know, aligned again, they find themselves again. I think it will create some kind of like peace, or it will change the world somehow. So I need to keep doing it. So that's like one thing that I really love about doing this kind of work, witnessing miracles unfold in front of my eyes. Who wouldn't want that? But I love it, obviously. So I keep doing it.
Kimmy, that is so powerful when you think about being in this sacred space with people. And I know that that's part of your work, is holding this container and this space for people to go on a journey of their own self-discovery to build their confidence. Tell us a little bit about how you go about that.
Yes. Well, each and every session is a sacred space for me. And what is a sacred space? It's when you allow that other person to just fully be themselves, to feel that they are not being judged, and to allow them to not have any fears of completely just being authentic. So that is the sacred space. And each time a sacred space is happening, there's, I don't know, I would call it like magic, that their lives are transformed in that sacred space. And I love it, and they love it too, of course. And they become more confident, more heart-centered because of those spaces wherein they can fully become themselves.
You spoke about people coming in and being authentic. And I think that's, you know, you've really nailed it on when we talk about understanding yourself best, because that matching of authenticity, I mean, that's the place of being out in the world, right, where people really gravitate to you. But so many people hold back their authenticity because they think, okay, that's not good enough, or that's going to be judged, or like women are out in the workplace, that's not going to be accepted in this organization. There's a lot of men here who are great, but I'm not one of them. So how does my real self show up? What are some of the trend things you're hearing about people being reluctant to claim their authentic self?
Right now, you know, through the sessions, especially last year and this year, what I'm hearing from them, that's why they're not able to be their authentic selves, would be actually their like wounds and traumas as children. Like maybe their parents telling them, oh, you can't do that, you can't do this. Maybe being bullied at one point as well. So just like trauma of not being fully accepted as themselves. And like little things like, you know, just coloring your hair a different color, and people will start making fun of you and all that. They're like, oh, so that's not good. And they stop becoming themselves because of all of these programs of other people, the perception of other people that now plays as a narrative in their minds. Whereas, you know, it shouldn't be that way, or I guess they need healing for it. That's why the sacred space is there for their healing. And sometimes I describe it as if they're like onions And each time they come to the session, it's like peeling layers and layers of that and getting to their core and becoming their truest selves and radiating that in their lives.
Kimmy, I think in all the work that you've done, and I'm, you know, it's been 10 years, mm-hmm. correct, that you've been able to do this. You've just stopped with your initial training. Haven't you expanded this? So I think that's my first question. I know you've gotten additional certifications and so forth. But the other thing I think is just so amazing.
Yes.
You're no longer the only life coach in the Philippines. And I think about that. Obviously, there was such a huge need and you opened that door. So, you know, what are other things that you've added onto your practice? And then that's got to feel really validating as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know what? Before, because I was like pioneer, the only one. So I thought I was the only one who can do the work. I was even a little bit conceited and boastful that, you know, oh, I'm the best one because I was the first one. But oh my gosh, how very humbling also. And it opened my heart just grew, I guess, 12 times more and 24 times more right now, because I created the Sacred Space Certification Program. And now I'm teaching other people to learn how to hold space for other people. And I observe them. They now have their own classes, their own workshops. They have their own one-on-ones. And then they tell me how they feel. And it's a different spark also in their eyes. And even for me, how very fulfilling it is to be able now, they're feeling what I'm feeling. I didn't know that was possible before. And so I'm just super duper happy right now about it. And now six women are part of my team, and we're handling the well-being boost program. They're also doing this for companies now. They also have their own one-on-one clients. So it's a different level as well. I didn't think I would grow this much. I didn't think it was possible. But now that I'm here, I'm also believing that, yes, obviously, we're here now. This is where we're supposed to be.
Okay, so we just went through probably the most difficult period in 100 years and going through a pandemic. I'm curious how that affected your clients.
Yeah.
And how did that affect you? Or, you know, it probably opened up other conversations that you wouldn't have anticipated before. Am I correct in that?
Well, there has been an influx of clients for sure. So it's good for the business. So that's a good thing. The bad thing is that, oh my gosh, a lot of people are troubled. But again, there's another good thing, because now they are actually asking for help. Like, they now know that they need help. So that's the story over there right now. And a lot of people are needing this. That's why I created that program, so that there's more of us helping other people.
So Kimmy, if you were going to give advice to other women about how to start to act on your true self, I mean, you've really talked about this whole, I was lost, I couldn't even feel my heart anymore. And yet being willing to listen to your inner self and start to take an action step. I mean, that is something where you can just stay lost. And so you now, I mean, just seeing, you know, in talking to you and hearing in your voice and all the joy that it brings you to help people, and this assurance, I'm on the right path. I'm spiritually connected with what I was created to do. But what advice would you give women to begin? Like, how do you even start to move forward to find that inner peace and passion direction?
I think I would say two things. So the first thing is super easy. It would be for you to just take a deep breath. And the thing is, with that deep breath, it's free and it's right under your nose. You know, you keep looking around like, what, where, you know, searching online. But when you just take a deep breath in and just allow some kind of voice to guide you, then you're going to hear it when you're silent. So that's one. Number two, you're going to need to try to do something. You're going to need to, like, maybe could it be like the travel thing for me? I tried that. That wasn't for me. Was it like the events thing? I tried it. Wasn't for me. I tried the teaching part. It wasn't for me. But the coaching keeps coming back. And I held on to it. And I tried it out. And here I am. So I think you need to keep trying to find out. It's better than not trying at all. You'll be really stuck, right? So take a deep breath. And then maybe because of that deep breath, you receive guidance or some voices, or maybe you just write down things that you may want to try out and then do it.
Okay, so I have to tell you that since our call, like about 3 weeks ago, you did inspire me to do one thing. And so I think that that's important so we can tell other women. But I was reading through your website and I have started to do some meditation, which is something I hadn't tried before. And, you know, or it's difficult for me to do because I'm so wired, you know, all the time. But I think that those things that you can give back to women as we're in this, we're always 100 miles an hour. You know, the deep breathing, the meditation are all things that we're really trying to figure out who we are and what those next things, what those next steps are. It's, we get so caught up in day-to-day life that I think where you are, you know, you bring this calmness that all of us need at this point in time. I think that those have been inspiring for me in just the short time that I've known you, but I really, the advice that you just gave, are simple things, but instead we're trying to figure out that next thing before we're taking care of what's immediately in front of us. And I don't know if you can speak to that at all, but I think sometimes we're always trying to figure out the end without going through the journey, if that makes any sense.
That's right. I mean, I believe that, you know, being present is essential these days, especially when things are very uncertain and we can't plan so much ahead. We're really doing things day by day. I think the longest plan that I have right now would be a month. And so the breath that you're taking, and wow, congratulations, Mel, for starting your practice. I'm glad that you are. And I hope everybody else listening who aren't doing it yet, please do so. Because when you are silent, really, you can hear better. You can listen better instead of thinking 100 miles an hour per hour.
Well, Kimmy Lou, I mean, you're just like inspiring to others, inspiring as an incredible woman of saying, this is where I'm at, but this is not where I have to stay if I follow what I believe in my heart. And you talked about, you know, trying a lot of things on for size, and you moved again when you knew, okay, that's not the fit, but this is more the direction that feels right and resonates with me. And I love how you shared, I really have a plan just for a month. And so you were going to go to training in America, but you didn't really know what you were going to do with all of that training. So I think sometimes when we're following ourselves, we just have to trust that we're going to always be there to do the next step. And we just have to take the next step based on who we are and not a version of what someone else thinks that we should be. And so you have been incredible to have on the show, and we're delighted to meet you. Hopefully that would be someday in person. Thank you so much for coming on to our show.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this is my hobby, you know, traveling and seeing friends, except there's a pandemic. But for sure, one day I will see the both of you in person. I will make it a life goal to do so. And thank you so much for having me. I am so grateful, feeling super honored. Thank you for allowing me to have this space to share my story and hopefully influence other women to really just go for what they really feel is inside of them, what they're supposed to do for everybody else around them.
Thank you so much for all that you're doing in the world. And we just look forward to following you and seeing all of your great energy and positivity, because it is in the right space of having people be them the best version of themselves. So we want to thank all of the women who have listened today. We really appreciate you tuning in. And we like to leave you with a question. And today, it's to sit down and think, are you being present to yourself? Because before we can even be present to others, we have to be present to what our inner heart is trying to say. So have you taken a breath today and been present to yourself? Thanks again for tuning in to Influential She. We hope you'll do it again.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed our podcast, we'd be so jazzed if you rate us on whatever app you use to find us. And hey, be sure to tell all your friends about Influential She.
And please visit us at InfluentialShe.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. And you know what? If you come up with a new one, please let us know. In the meantime, remember, stay influential.